the front office.
We'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Yeah, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, I better strap your helmet on tight, you know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seif.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
And a happy, happy Football Tuesday to you. How do you like the new open for the show? Dino, Dina Talley, Steve Dole, our great folks over at KNR did an outstanding job of putting that one together. A little chance to give you a little feel for the show, what we're all about here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Great stuff, guys. Very happy with that, and nice to have it make its debut for this show, and a special show it is. Browns president Mike Holmgren is going to join us. He's going to talk a lot about football, but he's also going to talk about something very important, more important than football, quite honestly. His wife, Kathy, and Mike are the honorary co-chairs for the Red Kettle campaign, the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign. They were out at the arcade earlier today for the tree lighting, the annual tree lighting, kicking off the holiday season of giving. And that is an important message that Mike is going to address with us. But again, we're going to get into this football team in a big way as well. So you're going to want to make sure you stick around and hear that. We're going to have our alumni segment take a walk backwards down memory lane to Bo Scott and Bill Nelson, two former Browns. They're going to join us a little later in the show because they're the honorary captains for Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we always have the honorary captains on before a home game, and these two guys are going to do that, and it's going to be a lot of fun catching up with them as well. We go inside the numbers on Tuesday. Matt Flojancic from ClevelandBrowns.com, our staff writer, and yours truly, dig into some of the numbers that will tell the story about Sunday's game against Jacksonville. So a whole lot for you, to say the least. And we are also going to give you our poll question, which is posted on the official Browns Facebook page each day, a show day, I should say, Monday through Friday. And today's question is, which area of the Browns looked most improved against the Rams and why? The three categories: passing game, running game, run defense. So a bunch of you voting on that right now. We'll give you those results at the end of the show. And, yeah, a little hard to find an improvement area in another losing effort, the 13-12 loss that the Browns suffered at the hands of the Rams. But there were some areas that were, I thought, fell into the positive category at least, and want to give you a chance to weigh in on that and see what you think. And, of course, you ask me questions via the Browns Facebook and Twitter pages, and a bunch of you have done that. And we're going to go to your questions right now. Mike, via Facebook: what can be done this week at practice to better prepare this team to score more touchdowns? I wish, Mike, I knew the answer to that. I don't know that there's a simple, well, they can just do this and it'll solve it, because, let's face it, it isn't just one game where they've struggled to score touchdowns. This has been a multiple-game problem. It's been a season-long problem. They've practiced all season long and have not found the answer to this. It is something that Pat Shurmur and his coaching staff try to address each day in practice, or each practice day, yeah, and have yet to come up with a solution. I don't know that it's designing or coming up with better plays, although I liked the imagination and the play design in that last game. I was encouraged by that. I thought Pat Shurmur showed something in that game that should provide at least some hope and sense that You can think out of the box and maybe find some answers there. I don't know that the specific plays that he created are going to be the ones that result in touchdowns, but I think they can open up other things. And that's the idea here. Getting guys literally open to catch the football is a challenge for this football team. Mark said, or he's saying and asking, if we can't beat a 1-7 team, of course, meaning the Rams for their record before last Sunday's game, how can we beat the Jags, who do hold the same record as us? Well, Mark, I'd say this. The Jaguars do have a lot in common with the Browns beside the record. They, too, struggle to score points, to score touchdowns. They have a young quarterback, a younger quarterback than Colt McCoy, and a guy named Blaine Gabbert, the rookie. And he's going through, I think, even more severe growing pains than McCoy. They have a really good running back named Maurice Jones-Drew. You know all about him. Probably got him on a fantasy team somewhere. And he'll be a load. Their defense is okay. I don't know that it's great. Their special teams, they got a kicker, Josh Gobe, who's really, really good. Right up there with a Phil Dawson in terms of consistency and quality. But I think they've got some holes in their coverage. Not the best return team. Maybe the punter, not the best there. So there might be some areas. I guess when I'm appraising this Jacksonville team, I don't see an opponent that looks that much better than what the Rams were a week ago to say that the Browns wouldn't have a chance against this team. But I'm down to saying it's the Browns against the Browns right now. I mean, their schedule is going to bring about very good opponents, better opponents, that, you know, the tail end of this thing based on record and the quality of what we see down the road is scary. I won't lie about that. Who could? It's imposing. But this point right now, looking at this game coming up, my concern is, do the Browns not beat the Browns? Because they can beat the team they're playing. And I think they can be competitive even with the teams with better records. The teams perceived to be better if they don't beat themselves, if they don't do the things that limit what they do. So a better performing Browns team is capable of beating Jacksonville, just as it was capable of beating the Rams. Should have, could have, would have beat the Rams, but we saw how that one ended. Scott asked what went wrong with the missed field goal. Well, yeah, by now, Scott, I'd say it was pretty clear. I think a bad snap. I give the Rams credit on that play. The more I look at it, with just their fast charge off the ball that caused some additional movement on that left side of the Browns' protection. You got that foot in there by Alex Mack. But I think a better snap, a higher snap, whatever, probably misses his leg on the way back. But if the leg's not there and the snap was delivered low but not on the ground, probably a better executed and successfully executed field goal. We're gonna gnaw on that one probably for a long time. That's gonna gnaw on us. Let me say it. That's gonna gnaw on us, on our stomachs collectively for a long time. It's just the way it is. It's gonna be one of those plays that you'll talk about and analyze and reanalyze and. Unfortunately, the answer is always going to kind of come back to what it is. So, wish it could be something else, but that's what it is. All right, we are going to have a conversation with the president of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Holmgren. Going to dig really deep into this football team with him, along with, again, a great, great charitable effort he and his wife, Kathy, are part of with the Red Kettle campaign for the Salvation Army. That's coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Stick around for more on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit libertyford.com.
Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stand, merchandise stand, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
It's time for the MMA Minute, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand.
History was made last Saturday night as the UFC debuted for the first time on network television, winning the key 18 to 34-year-old demographic with a 5.7 rating. Those that tuned in saw Junior Dos Santos become the new UFC heavyweight champion as the Brazilian slugger knocked out Cain Velasquez 1 minute into their heavyweight title fight. The victory by Dos Santos handed Velasquez, who was coming off rotator cuff surgery and a 13-month layoff, the first loss of his career. Dos Santos will now meet the winner of Brock Lesnar versus Alistair Overeem, slated for UFC 141 on December 30th.
The MMA Minute with Jordan Sherwood, brought to you by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of you. Get the latest MMA news by listening to Inside the Cage, Saturday mornings at 11 on ESPN 1540 KNR2.
Today it seems like the world wants everything to be fast. It has to be world record 100 meter dash with a strong tailwind fast. Things need to be so fast we don't even have time for words. OMG, LOL, TTYL. People even rush through the insurance process. Can you quote them? I covered maybe. Who knows? It was so fast. What just happened?
At Liberty Mutual, we believe in taking the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you today. Find a local office at libertymutual.com/agents and take the time to speak to an agent about your auto, home, or life insurance today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
855th remains closed between Woodland and Quincy because of an accident earlier on. RTA bus is being rerouted. Investigation continues. You've got 40 westbound slow, western 30th to 71 and 271 to Broadway for backup spots. Interbell southbound slow, superior to the 71 Jennings split. Route 8 southbound slow between Market Street and the Central Interchange. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
Welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And this segment, it too, is driven by none other than Liberty Ford. Very pleased to be joined right now by Browns President Mike Holmgren. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vic.
So, Mike, first I want to start with something very special. The Red Kettle campaign kickoff, which took place earlier in the day, you and your wife, Kathy, there for the traditional tree lighting at the arcade, and making a personal donation of $10,000 with a match from the Browns, really a great thing to be a part of.
It really is. It gives us great joy as a family and as a couple and as an organization to participate and help the Salvation Army. It's a wonderful organization. It does so much for so many who can't do for themselves. And we're very excited about the kettle drive. You know, we're going to have the kettle's out at the stadium in force on Sunday, and then, of course, they're out all through the Christmas season, all over. So it's such a great organization, Vic, and this is our small way in trying to help.
Yeah, you and Kathy, the honorary co-chairs, and it's a pretty aggressive goal, as I've seen it here, $715,000 this year. So there's obviously a great hope out there, and I know this community is a very giving community. Tough times that it goes through, people do give back.
Oh, there's no question about it, and this is a giving community, and it's been my experience where we have lived in other cities too for this organization, and at this particular time of the year, people step up. They really do. They care about their fellow man, and they care about helping people that can't quite get it together themselves, and I'm always very, very encouraged by the giving and what happens at this time of year.
Shifting to the football side,
Obviously, a tough one still to digest from a couple of days back for you especially, I'm sure, as much as anyone. But now that you've had a little time to reflect on it, what is the perspective? What is the takeaway for an outcome and for a game that ends in the fashion that that one did?
Well, it's painful, you know, and I think no one suffers more than the coaching staff and the players when you lose a game like that. But on the positive side of it, they rallied, they battled back to put themselves in a position to win the game. And you know, I've always said, if you're at this as long as I've been at it, you'll see everything. And I'm sorry I saw that, what happened at the end of the game, but we're in a position to win the game, at least go ahead with not much time left on the clock. And 99 out of 100 times you make that kick, and then you're feeling much better about things. But I was proud of the way the team battled back. I think Colt McCoy had a very fine football game. I think our young running backs, who haven't played very much, I think they stepped up a little bit, and our defense continues to play well. So, you know what? We are in this for the long haul. We have a plan. We're going to execute our plan, and sometimes at this stage of our development, if we get a couple injuries or this or that, we aren't quite mature enough to deal with it in our depth, as far as our depth goes. But we will get there. So, you know, there's no the building's in good shape, and the owner's excited still, and so am I. And now we just have to roll up our sleeves and get ready for this one.
That's the thing. In an outcome like that, it's easy to get so caught up in that and just not recognize anything else that happened up until that botched field goal. But there were quite a few positives, and you started with Colt McCoy. I thought really for the first time this season, it all seemed to come together for him. I know we're not seeing a touchdown, so that part's frustrating. But from your evaluation, what were some of the things you saw that statistically and almost every other way made for, I think, his best day of the regular season?
Well, I think he made good decisions for the most part. I think he threw the ball with accuracy. I mean, the receivers, a couple of them, Ben Watson made a fabulous catch during the game, but he ran the team well. I think we had trouble in the red zone, and we had trouble on third down. And those are two areas that we know about. And with a young team, those are the areas that aren't going to be quite where they will be, you know, down the road. But those are the areas we must improve in. And then if we convert a couple more third downs, if we score a touchdown instead of a field goal in the red zone, then the game takes on a different shape. But all in all, you know, I think offensively we functioned okay. We ran the ball okay. We're not scoring points, and we're having trouble in the red zone.
Can you put a finger on why no touchdowns to this point? I know it's not one answer, and I know it's not one thing, but as you go through your, I'm sure you've compiled a list in your mind, general sense of where the shortcomings have been in that regard.
Well, I think when you're teaching a particular type of offense, and we're having to teach this offense to this group, that the subtleties of the offense or the preciseness of a particular route or a series of routes, you don't have it right away. And as a result, you know, guys bump into each other, things are just a little bit off. And in the red zone, think, as an example, things happen very quickly. The margin for error there, if you don't do it exactly right, the play usually doesn't work. And that's kind of what's been happening to us. Now, we have a great field goal kicker, we're kicking field goals, and our defense is keeping us in games, but those are things we must convert into touchdowns, and I think down the road you'll see that. You'll see the percentages to be much different, you know, maybe this season as well, but certainly in the years to come.
Mike Holmgren, our guest, president of the Browns, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The other parts of this offense that, as we touched upon, were better looking. The running game with Chris Obanaya stepping up, you're really been your last resort guy so far. And he runs hard and runs pretty effectively, 4.7 yard average. And in general, you had people like Greg Little and others making plays. The trickery that was put in place, gadgetry that Pat Shurmur incorporated, mostly was effective. I thought all of that was good, and yet the thing that seems to the results of that were from an offensive line that I thought for the first time in a while really played a strong game start to finish.
I think they were pretty consistent in the ballgame. Yeah, I do. You know, and we've got, you know, Pinks is a rookie playing left guard. Sean Laval, second year, didn't play at all last year, really. So, in essence, this is his rookie year. You know, and you have Mack and Thomas and Pashos and so on. But we're getting a lot of good experience for those guys. Sometimes, you know, where you see us, they had a good game. But where you see them have trouble a little bit at times is when they're gaming us or they're giving a little different look. And it just takes an offensive line more than any other group on your football team a little more time to become cohesive and together. And that's what you're seeing. And I think the offseason, if you had to say one group, who would be affected most by the lack of an offseason program? And I'd always have to say it would be the offensive line, because you really have to depend on the guy next to you, and it's quite intricate.
And they have to see these things, right, Mike? As far as the gaming you talk about, you can coach it and advise them all you want. George Warhop does a great job, and I'm sure, and Pat Shermer and others, but they have to physically go through it.
Absolutely, and George does do a great job. George Warhop is an outstanding line coach, and his guys work very, very hard for him. And but offensively, like, you got to see it. You got to actually go through it, experience it. It all looks very nice on paper until things start flying around very hot and heavy, and so then that's what we're going through right now.
And defensively, to really be as humiliated as that side of the ball was at Houston, to come back with a game like it had Sunday, I thought was also encouraging.
Well, I think that speaks to the makeup of the team we have and the type of young man that's playing for us. You know, we don't always do the right thing, you know, because of our youth and enthusiasm, if you will. But there's no quit and there's no give up. And they are, if they don't, something bad happens, they want to fight back. And that's what you saw, I think. I think a defensive team that really, you know, we got pushed around a little bit against Houston. They came back, and it wasn't going to happen again. It helps to be at home. It helps to have our crowd there and our fans there. But I think they responded very well.
You mentioned the owner, Randy Lerner, and his enthusiasm level pretty high. And I know you guys talk, obviously, very regularly about everything. But can you give a feel about that, about how, because I know deep down his emotions are like that of any fans, that it's agony for him to see what takes place. But then when in the cool light of dawn, when you have a chance to sit down and talk, generally, I won't ask for this for the private details, but if you can give a general feel for what those discussions are like and you know, why you can remain as positive as you do.
Well, I think what you stated was very true. I mean, here we have an owner who cares deeply about the Browns. You know, and he has for a long time. But when he hired me and asked me to come in and try and do this, okay, I sense that. That's why I'm here. Okay, then you have Tom Heckert, Pat Shermer, the other fellows we hired, our other personnel people, Randy. There is one plan. We have agreed on one way of doing this. And we're all in agreement. We're all rowing the boat in the same direction. And it just takes some time. We're going to break the cycle, if you will, of the last 10, 12 years. We're not going to blow this thing up because we lost a couple of games or we missed a field goal. You know, and I think in years past, there was at times a sense that that could happen. Well, that's not going to happen. These men, we're going to stick together and we're going to get this done, and we have a plan on how to do this. And I know it's hard for the fans at times to listen to me say that because they've probably heard it before. And I guess I'm asking for trust. And, you know, after a tough loss, listen, no one suffers more than I do after a loss. And it's hard. But what do? You roll up your sleeves, you go back to work, you stick with the plan, you keep coaching your guys, and then eventually, the party at the end will be fun for everybody.
Perfect. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Vic.
Browns President Mike Holmgren joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's brought to you by Liberty Ford and Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Stick around for much more on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years? and has five locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find. With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the Liberty experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Looking for more than a song on your birthday? How about a whole concert? Get a free ticket to the Cleveland House of Blues during your birthday month when you join the First Merit Birthday Club. Be one of the first 15,000, and you'll get a $25 voucher toward dinner, too. Just visit firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. So log on and rock on with the First Merit Birthday Club. First Merit Bank. You first. Must be a First Merit customer with online banking to join. Full terms apply. See firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. Member FDIC.
At Green Mountain Coffee, we believe in the power of a great cup of coffee.
I realize every problem can be an opportunity if you look at it the right way.
We selectively source our coffee from across the globe. Then we carefully roast and blend it perfectly so all the inspiration we put into it helps you get a little inspiration out.
I realized sometimes a great cup of coffee is all I need to get a new perspective.
Green Mountain Coffee, a revelation in every cup. Available in bags and K-cup servings for Keurig single-serve brewers.
Love your Pandora bracelet.
Oh, thanks. He went to Jared.
Whether you're looking for charms, rings, or bracelets, you'll find the Pandora collection at Jared the Galleria of Jewelry to be truly remarkable, with literally hundreds of designs. Only the store with five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores can bring you a Pandora collection like this. Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora Jewelry at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Welcome to Bonefish Grill.
And that is why toboggans need waxing. Ah, the holidays. Nothing makes me jollier than treating my entourage to a night of culinary perfection at Bonefish Grill. My crew starts off with winter white Cosmos and two rounds of succulent Chesapeake Bay oysters each for just $8.90. They're disappearing faster than my third sleeve of golf balls on the first tee at Shinnecock. My personal trainer indulges in a very well-deserved plate of lobster Thermidor topped Dorado. And my dish is perfection. Spinach bacon gorgonzola salmon for $15.90. I'd gladly wrestle a 900-pound grizzly bear for these flavors any day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Visit Bonefish Grill and experience the GATT award-winning food and service. Grab a drink with colleagues, appetizers with friends, or dinner with family.
Some say Zagat, some say the GATT. I say giddy up. Bonefish Grill. Happiness here.
In Cleveland at the corner of Rockside Road and 77. Visit bonefishgrill.com for the location nearest you.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. You wouldn't give your money to a door-to-door banker or take medical advice from a door-to-door doctor, so you shouldn't trust a door-to-door home alarm salesman to protect your family. At Alarm Force, we never go door-to-door, and only with Alarm Force you get free live two-way voice, installation, activation, and warranty, and only $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Each week we bring you alumni. We bring you players from the Browns' past, and we do so proudly. And this organization does so proudly because for every home game, we have honorary captains. And this is also driven, not only driven by Liberty Ford, it's in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. And the honorary captains for Sunday's game against the Jaguars will be former Browns quarterback Bill Nelson and former Browns running back Bo Scott. And we have each on the line. Bill Nelson's in Orlando, Florida. Bo Scott is in Columbus, Ohio. Guys, so we don't all talk over each other. I'll just do it separately. Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Vic.
And Bo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vic.
All right, guys, we appreciate you taking the time. And first of all, it's we know it's going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. You get to come back, you get to wear the jersey again, and it was really enjoyable seeing Clarence Scott, Tom Darden do that last week. I had the pleasure of speaking with them after the game, and how thrilled they were just to do that. And I'm sure this has got to be something special. I'll start with you, Bill. Just the idea of getting back to the stadium, and you've gone full circle in his career, player, coach, but to come back as a former player and to get this recognition has got to be something nice.
It's awesome. I'm really excited about it. The last time I was up there was when they opened the stadium, and it was unfortunately against Pittsburgh, and I played at both places, and I had to leave at halftime. It was so bad, but I'm every day, every week, looking to see how our Brownies are doing.
63-67 with the Pittsburgh Steelers and 68-72 with the Browns. Bo Scott, and you were on this team. You actually started your career in the Canadian Football League, but on this team, 69-74, Bo. And
right.
Same thing to you. Talk about just the chance to kind of reconnect with Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm excited about it. Get down on the field. Back old days, yeah.
It brings back memories, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was a different stadium when you were here, but
nope.
Still, a very cool opportunity. And, Bo, I got something, a real neat little tidbit that I want to make sure our audience hears about, because I think they'll like it, that Tony Dick, who's in charge of our alumni, oversees all this, coordinates everything with you guys, does a fabulous job for the Browns on this. But a little known fact, and I guess it was even a revelation to you, the head coach of Nebraska named Bo Pelini,
yeah.
And he was raised in Youngstown, Ohio, and played ball there and so forth, but his name is after you. He was named Bo because of Bo Scott, and I would imagine when you heard about that had to be something that caught your attention.
Oh, yeah, it did. You know, I really, that was fantastic. You know, at first I said, what, you know? And but, you know, that was a pleasure to hear that. You know, it makes you feel good.
It really does. I think that's as great an honor as can be. We know
no athletes, about that.
Yeah, and players parents name their children after athletes all the time, but you know this is a pretty cool one, and for your sake, Bill, to you, in playing for this team, in joining you came from USC, of course, and you go from USC to two hard-bitten towns of Pittsburgh and Cleveland, weather-wise in every which way, as a quarterback who knew the life of throwing footballs in climate-controlled atmosphere pretty much, to come east and deal with Pittsburgh and deal with Cleveland. Just your recollection of what that was like.
Well, the first experience I ever had was had a quarterback at Pittsburgh by the name of Ed Brown, and it turned cold, and he's throwing, we were just playing and everything, he's throwing the ball at me, and I'm going, my God, you know. But otherwise, I enjoyed the different experiences of being there and the different things. I can never forget the great Gene Harrison, our guard, one time, and I said, Gene, what's the matter? And we're going to go play Houston, and he says, my God, it's going to be 72 degrees, because we were playing in a dome, you know. But I enjoyed the weather. I didn't enjoy the last championship game when we played Minnesota, when it was frozen and everybody fell down, but I didn't have any problem with it.
Bo, at your position, running back, you know, you're kind of built for dealing with the climate and a power game, and playing fullback for the Browns as you did 70-72. Give me that transition, first of all, position-wise for you, and why it was, you know, a natural fit.
You know, I started out as a quarterback, and then you know, transferred into, as I went in, I became a running back, and I had no problem, you know, changing over to a running back. You know, that probably was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I remember that cold day Bill was talking about up in Minnesota. It was cold as anything.
And you played in the Canadian Football League for the Ottawa Rough Riders, so that gave you certainly decent exposure to the elements as well.
We had a lot of cold weather up there.
And you were an all-star in that league, obviously, and helped them to the 68 Grey Cup Championship. Going from the CFL to the NFL, Bo, talk about that transition.
It was a football was football, okay? But the thing about it is the Canadian League was a much faster league because of having only three downs and basically, every time there's hardly any timeouts and punt, you had to run the punts back. So it was a fast moving game. Then when I came down to Cleveland, then the talent was much better. the guys were much bigger and the game was, the players were much faster. But it didn't take that long to make the adjustment.
Now, we're visiting with, that's Bo Scott, who's talking with us on the line from Columbus, Ohio, former Browns running back. He's one of the honorary co-captains for Sunday's game against Jacksonville. And joining him will be Bill Nelson, who's on the line with us from Orlando, Florida. He'll be the other co-captain, and he's a former Browns quarterback. And you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bill, you got a chance to coach in this league, assistant with the Patriots, spent a little while with them, the Atlanta Falcons. You were there. I know when Marion Campbell was there, and Marion was a guy I knew quite well when I covered the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was Dick Vermeil's defensive coordinator. And then down in Tampa, and it was interesting, for me at least, John Gruden, we collaborated on a book together, and one of the things he mentioned, and it's in the book, that John wrote after leading Tampa to a Super Bowl championship, at the time that you were there, his dad was, I believe, with that staff, right, or with that group, because he talked about how great it was to see you as a child, one of his childhood heroes, when he grew up in Sandusky, Ohio, and marveling at the fact that you were out there on that Buccaneers coaching staff.
Yeah, it was really exciting to hear that, and to listen to him now on Monday Night Football, I don't know if I can handle him, but otherwise, he had great success, and his dad and I had a great experience working there at the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and it's a grinding it's quite a life, I guess, to be in this league as a coach and deal with it and bounce around. You had kind of the classic existence, in that capacity. But I'm so glad now that you're going to be back to Cleveland. Same with you, Bo, and we get to see both of you guys on Sunday and really enjoy a little bit of a moment in the sun. And we thank both of you for taking the time to join us, and we'll see you Sunday.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and thank you.
Oh, I can't wait to see Bo Scott.
Bill.
Bo Scott and Bill Nelson, they will both be there Sunday for the honorary captains for Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Stick around for much more on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Beat the Black Friday rush and get huge savings at Liberty Ford. Liberty has thousands of vehicles on sale now. For only $179 a month, you can drive off a new Ranger, Escape, or Fusion. That's right, only $179 a month on three of Liberty's best sellers. With more vehicles in stock than ever before, beat the Black Friday rush and save at Liberty Ford. Guaranteed financing and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local Lube on any game day to get the exclusive Dog Pound Bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature Dog Pound Bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the Lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your Dog Pound Bucket at the Lube or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
College football fans, the Touchdown in Paradise tailgate tour is coming to Cleveland. Stop by the Legacy Village Mall AT&T store located at 25309 Cedar Road in Lyndhurst from 5 and 8 p.m. on November 25th. AT&T UVerse and ESPN are throwing the ultimate tailgating party with food, prizes, and a special appearance by former Buckeye great Mike Doss. Go to touchdowninparadise.com today for event and sweepstakes details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. See site for official rules and who's eligible to enter to win. Meet Mike Doss and party like it's game day.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
Hi, this is Mike Holmgren. Join the Browns in supporting the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign at Cleveland Browns Stadium on Sunday, November 20th. For more information on how you can help, visit SalvationArmyCleveland.org.
Welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Browns fans, single game tickets are still available. Purchase yours before it's too late. That includes the upcoming Browns-Jaguars game this Sunday, November 20th, 1 p.m. at Cleveland Browns Stadium. For more information, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit us at clevelandbrowns.com. And this segment, this Inside the Numbers segment that we give you every Tuesday, is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. On Tuesdays, we go inside the numbers here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and helping us to do that every week is our own Matt Florjancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Vic. Good to be back.
So, Matt, when we look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, Sunday's opponent for the Browns, really it's kind of a mirror image for these teams somewhat. You've got the 3-6 records, you start there, young quarterbacks, a better running game from the Jacksonville side, but when we look at the first quarter of what these teams have done or not done, it's the Browns being outscored 58-9, and that's been a major headache through this entire season. But the Jags aren't much better on that count.
Defensively, Jacksonville's given up 39 first-quarter points, which bodes well for the Browns. I think this is probably the not worst defense that they're going to see in terms of first-quarter defense, but I think it's definitely one that's given up the most points. And that's a good sign for this Browns team to go out there and play against a defense that at times you can move the ball against and find a way to put up points on.
Yeah, that could open up an opportunity. And when it comes to closing the sale, and of course it didn't work out so well for the Browns this past Sunday against St. Louis, but the Jags in the fourth quarter defensively have even bigger issues.
Yeah, they've been outscored by 25 points in that fourth quarter, and that's never a good margin to have. They've allowed 55 points and just managed 30. So you're talking about a Jacksonville team that if you can get off to a fast start against, and you can come from behind and beat in the fourth quarter as well.
One of the encouraging, and there really were multiple encouraging signs despite the agony of the outcome or the way that game was lost by the Browns, I thought was the running game. And we saw from Chris Obanaya, and really his second start, his second opportunity as the featured back, a guy who ran hard and ran productively, his best season, best game with 90 yards on 19 carries and also a couple of decent catches for 19 yards. But this is a guy who might be able to at least get something going against Jacksonville's defense.
Yeah, Jacksonville ranks 7th in the AFC against the run, but they've given up 107 a game, which is a good sign for the Browns because they can find a way to hit the holes that the offensive line opens up and get into those gaps that Jacksonville hasn't been able to fill as often as they'd like. So this is a good sign for this Browns team, especially Chris Obanaya.
And conversely, Maurice Jones-Drew, Jacksonville's outstanding running back, yet another in a long line of
of really good backs that this Browns team has to deal with. Steven Jackson last week, and we know Arian Foster and Ben Tate the week before, and Frank Gore the week before. I mean, it just doesn't end with quality backs going up against the Browns.
It really doesn't. It started even before that with Darren McFadden. Run DMC went pretty crazy in the first drive.
Trying to forget that.
24 yards on the first carry, but the Browns did a good job to hold him under 100 on the day, and they're going to have their hands full against Maurice Jones-Drew. There's no doubt about it. And he has some success history against the Browns. Caught a 75-yard screen pass in last year's game, and then a couple plays later ran it in from 1 yard out with 1:16 remaining for the go-ahead and what turned out to be the game-winning score in a 24-20 victory over the Browns in a game that Jacksonville turned the ball over six times.
And what's interesting, I mean, he accounts for nearly half of their offense. I mean, basically, his touches do. And on total touches, he gets more than half of the snaps for this Jacksonville team.
Well, it shows you what he can do in a variety of different ways. He has 191 carries, 15 catches. He's accounted for over 950 yards of total offense, 854 of which have come on the ground. But his average per touch is pretty telling about what this young man can do. 4.5 yards per carry, 7.2 yards per reception. It means he's getting positive yardage every time he touches the football. Almost a first down every two carries, and better than a first down every two catches.
Matt Florjancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, breaking down the numbers with us as he does every Tuesday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. For the second time this season, the Browns will face a rookie quarterback. Andy Dalton was the first one for Cincinnati, and Andy Dalton having a very solid season to help the Bengals to their 6-3 mark so far. But now we look at Blaine Gabbert, and he's the rookie starter for the Jaguars, not having the same success as Dalton and really struggling in a couple of ways, but I think the biggest of which is he's not getting a lot of protection.
No, he's not. He's been sacked 21 times for 135 lost yards. His quarterback rating is 63.6. He's only completing 47.9% of his passes, but when you look at the game film, that's because he can't really go to a 5 or 7 step drop without getting hit,
right,
or having to run for his life. You're talking about a young man who's trying to develop in an offense that, outside of Maurice Jones Drew, they don't have too many healthy weapons right now.
No, and they're trying to press. They're really trying to press to get some big yards. So Dirk Cutter, their offensive coordinator, looks like he's trying to force that longer game by having him drop back a little bit more, and those should create some pass rush opportunities.
Absolutely, and you're talking about a Browns defense who early on in the year was able to get to the quarterback quite often. They've struggled a little bit in terms of their pass rush over the last couple weeks. They haven't been able to quite bother the likes of Matt Schaub as much as they would have liked in Houston or last week as well against Sam Bradford. You want to get hits on the quarterback, and that's always a good thing, but you want to make sure that they come with some lost yardage and some sacks. You don't want to just hit them as he's throwing the football. You want to get to him before he throws the football. And when Gabbert drops back, he hasn't been able to complete very many of his passes, just 93 of 194 for 1,025 yards, still with a positive touchdown to interception ratio at 6-5. But when you put pressure on this kid, you're going to force him into mistakes. He's not used to reading pro defenses yet. He's still learning how to be a professional quarterback. You want to take advantage of that if you're Dick Geron in the Browns defense.
Now, on Sunday, Phil Dawson will not be the only Mr. Reliable place kicker on the field. Josh Gobe for the Jacksonville Jaguars qualifies for that description as well.
Yeah, when you hit 15 of 16, including 5 of 5 from 50-plus, I'd say you're pretty reliable. So it's a battle of kickers that both have long legs, and they can kick from a long distance. And tell you what, both of them are starting to get close to that record for most 50 yards in a season that's co-held by Morton Anderson and Jason Hansen. Both of those gentlemen kicked 8 field goals of 50 yards or longer, Anderson in 95 with the Falcons and Hansen in 2008 with the Lions. So Dawson has a couple more to go to tie the record, and Scobie's one behind him.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind if Phil Dawson got that, but if he got it with a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, you sprinkle in a couple of touchdowns, and then he kicked a couple of 50-yarders. You know what? I am more than happy going in 21-21 with 5 seconds left and Dawson lining up for a 52-yard kick and booting it through the goalpost at the end zone on the east sideline.
I like the way you think. I'm with you, all aboard with you on that one. All right, Matt Florjancic, our staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, breaking down the numbers, as he always does, on Tuesdays here on Cleveland Browns Daily, and we've got much more on this show, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Beat the Black Friday rush and get huge savings at Liberty Ford. Liberty has a large selection of pre-owned vehicles on sale now. Visit LibertyFord.com to view hundreds of pre-owned vehicles with special internet pricing, all makes and models, rates as low as 1.9%, and guaranteed financing. With more vehicles in stock than ever before, beat the Black Friday rush and save at Liberty Ford. Guaranteed financing and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick,
in the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Starting at just $69 installed, you can get custom computer cut window tints for your vehicle. The window film is American made with a lifetime warranty and is cut by a computer driven plotter, giving you the best fit and finish in the industry. Summit Sound and Security on Route 91 in Twinsburg and online at SummitSound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
Cleveland starts here, every Sunday with the Browns. It starts with hard-nosed football. It's diehard loyalty, it's committing for the full 50. PNC is proud to be a sponsor of the Browns and a backer of every fan, like you, because you're part of the undeniable achievement that's happening right now in this great city. So whether it's a tailgate party or over 73,000 Browns fans, it all starts in Cleveland. PNC Bank, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. All rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association member, FDIC.
Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. Everything from automobiles to ATVs, homes to apartments, businesses to life. American Family can protect it. And this personalized coverage all comes at a very affordable price. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
Life insurance underwritten by American Family Life Insurance Company. Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance is a special deal for forward thinkers. Switch your auto insurance to American Family and you could save some real money with our new discount. Now that's something bright to think about. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
Savings may vary. See your agent for details.
Hit Cash at GetGo, where their ATMs are now surcharge-free. That's right. Now you can withdraw cash at GetGo ATMs without paying surcharge fees. Get in, get out with surcharge-free ATMs at GetGo. Certain restrictions apply. Your bank may charge a fee for transactions.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golic.
You know, part of being a real man is knowing how to take care of your car.
Then count me in as a man, Golic, because I know NTB is the place to go.
That's because NTB has the largest selection of name-brand tires, and with over 1 million tires available every day, NTB always has the right tire for your car, truck, or SUV.
And don't forget, Golic, you can bring the car to NTB for all of your service needs, too. It's easy. They're open early, open late, and open 7 days a week.
But why pay outrageous prices when you can trust the professionally trained NTB technicians who are ASE certified? And I bet you didn't know, Greeny, that the best way to pay is with the NTB credit card that can be used at over 650 locations nationwide.
So, let's get the stats straight, Golic, because we know you're easily confused. NTB isn't just tires at great prices. They're vehicle maintenance, brakes, oil changes, repairs, and much, much more.
You got it, Greeny. NTB is keeping the world in perfect motion.
Think Buick GMC, think Axelrod.
Looking for 0% and no payments till spring? Axelrod has you covered.
Get a Sierra at 0% for 72 months or Terrain at 0% for 36 months and no payments till spring. Axelrod.
Treating customers like family since 1979.
Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer, raiding my iPod, taking tunes right off my iPod. He didn't really, but he could have, because this is on there. Earth, Wind, and Fire, great tune. Almost anything by Earth, Wind, and Fire, great tunes. Love it. Football Tuesday, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you, and with you throughout this community are the Cleveland Browns. Let's check in on that right now. Tuesday is always a busy day in the community for the Cleveland Browns, and today was no different. And Renee Harvey, the Browns Director of Community Outreach, joins us now to talk a little bit about, first, a visit at JFK High School by several Browns players. Renee, tell us all about that.
So we had Usama Young, Quentin Spears, and Jabal Sheard came out to JFK High School today to speak with some ninth grade students. We're involved with the program with City Year, and basically it's called 50 Acts of Leadership. And so they're really trying to identify those skills and those traits at the ninth grade level so that they can make sure that these young students are on the right track as they continue through the rest of their high school career and hopefully on through the rest of their lives. And so it's really just an open dialogue about what those skill sets are and what they need to look for and what positive leaders are. It was a really great day, and again, a lot of wonderful discussion between the players and the students.
Yeah, what was the message maybe collectively that the players delivered to those kids?
You know, I think a lot of it was really about sometimes you have to make tough decisions, and that there are oftentimes people around you that want to take you in a negative direction. You need to identify that and make those positive choices, but also to be a leader and to do those things and to be brave enough and confident enough in yourself and that you're doing the right thing so that you can not only lead yourself on a positive path, but the impact that that has on the others around you, that you can really lift them up and take them with you.
A major event that took place earlier today at the arcade involved, of course, Browns president Mike Holmgren, his wife Kathy. They're the honorary co-chairs of the campaign, the Red Kettle campaign for the Salvation Army. And I know there were a lot of people there, and I guess it was beautiful, the lighting of the Christmas tree. Talk about that with us, Renee.
It was a beautiful day, beautiful turnout by the community, and the goal for the Red Kettle campaign this year is very aggressive. It's $715,000, and so Coach and Cassie were very kind, very generous to agree to make the initial kickoff contribution. The Browns have respectively have agreed to donate the equal amount to match that contribution. And so they were really there to raise awareness for the campaign, to let the public know that that is starting, and to really encourage everyone to at least donate a dollar, and so quickly we can achieve that goal. And the work done by Salvation Army is needed, you know, throughout the year, but this is a very important time of year. And so to pay attention to those kettles when you're going into your local stores and do what you can to support those less fortunate.
And speaking of those kettles, they're going to be all around Cleveland Brown Stadium on Sunday when the Browns take on the Jaguars, volunteers manning them at each entrance. So we want fans really to be as generous as they can. I know this is a very giving community, as I talked about it with Coach Holmgren earlier in the show, just that people this time of year tend to open wide even in the toughest times.
Yeah, you're right. Cleveland is absolutely amazing in that regard. And we're certainly hoping that our fans help us again on Sunday. Kathy Holmgren, as well as many of the other Browns Women's Organization members, will be actually volunteering at many of the gates in conjunction with many of the Salvation Army volunteers to collect those much-needed funds, as we talked about. So, you know, the quarters, the dollars, whatever anyone can give, to always remember that there's someone less fortunate, to do what we can to help raise Cleveland as a whole.
Renee, thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Results from our daily poll question, which is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. The question, which area of the Browns looked the most improved against the Rams and why? Passing game, running game, run defense were the choices. You voted, and 52% of you said it was the passing game was the improved area. 42% went running game. Okay, or 40%, excuse me. Pretty even, I guess, in those two areas. And, yeah, I think Chris Obanaya definitely ran well. Colt McCoy threw better. Angel commented all of them were better. And I would run defense being the third category. I would go with that. Although, again, Steven Jackson had his yards, but not nearly the damage that we saw before. To ask Vic from the Browns official Facebook page, Paul, what about the Jaguars? What did that they do? That the Browns need to heavily prepare for. Paul, I would say that the Jaguars' biggest strength is Maurice Jones-Drew, is dealing with him. Run defense, run defense, run defense. Gap integrity, that would be my biggest observation, is young Phil Taylor especially learning that as he goes. Stay in right position. Trust where you are. Trust Dick Geron's defense to put you in the right place to make plays. You're an extremely talented guy, but stay in your gap. and then you'll make more plays. You're making a lot already. You're having a really impressive rookie year, but with Ataba Rubin next to you, and you got Jabal Sheard there as well. I mean, you guys as a group are doing well. More gap integrity. Neil, who needs to improve the most? Who needs the most improvement on the Browns? I'm going to say the what is wide receivers getting open off the line of scrimmage, getting separation, more separation for Colt McCoy to find and complete some passes. And Jim asks, do you see improvement with this team? And I do see improvement. Yeah, I saw it in, again, the three categories we mentioned here. It's easy to just say nothing was good after such an awful outcome. But I'm not taking the easy route. Take a critical analysis of this team. There were some steps. Yeah, the offense doesn't get touchdowns, and that's a problem. But I like the improvement that I saw, again, in running game, passing game, Colt McCoy's steps. They were positive steps. David, do you think Obanaya can keep improving and help make the impact that gets our offense going? I do think so. The more he's touching the ball, the more he's running, the more comfortable he's getting with the people around him, the timing that's being developed between him and his blockers, and understanding the whole process of running the football is helpful. We want to thank Mike Holmgren and Bill Nelson and Bo Scott and Matt Florjancic, Renee Harvey, Kristen Ribelli, Pat McKenna, Jameer Howerton, Steve Dole, Dave DiNatale. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford.